Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and we are here today so excited to be in the midst, in the presence of the Lord through the Holy Spirit, by way of the Holy Spirit. And we are super excited, Brother Harold and I, to just dig right into the scriptures as we continue with this wonderful teaching series, The Benefits of Being in Christ. Now, we are looking at a specific area that definitely is a benefit, and that is relationship. And we have to have relationships. That's one of the reasons God created us, is that we would have a relationship with Him, the one true God, and relationship with each other. So I want you to continue to hang in there with us as we continue to move through the scriptures concerning this particular area, relationships. So I'm going to just allow Minister Harold to just bless us with the word of God and allowing God to just continue to use us both as we move through the scriptures. But I just pray that you come ready, willing, and able, but most of all, hungry for the word of God, that we thirst and hunger and desire the word of God so that we can continue to grow and go. And most of all, grow in relationships. Keep in mind, that's a benefit. So, Brother Harold, if you want to continue to pick up where we left off, and we are ready for you.
Amen. Hello, everyone. As was said, I am Brother Harold Coblin, and along with Minister Carnita Smith, we would be the teachers again in studio. I always like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio broadcast. And I always just love to let you know that it's an honor every time we come together and fellowship together concerning the things of our Lord and our God. As was said earlier, we are continuing the series, The Benefit of Being in Christ. And last week, we opened up a door to a relationship with God. And we're going to walk a little deeper into that door, because when we have a relationship with God, we have a relationship with the very nature of God. We have a relationship with the very essence of who our Lord and our God is. So we're going to start out by reading the Launchpad scripture, which is Psalms chapter number 103, verses 1 and 2.
Psalms 103, verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits.
Amen. Now, let's just open the door to the very essence of who our awesome God is, the very nature of this all-powerful Father that we have. And we will look at the scripture, 1 John chapter number 4, verses 7 through 10.
1 John 4, starting at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For God in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that he might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Amen. We will open up the two different covenants that God had with his people. He had a covenant with the Old Testament believers, and then he had a different covenant with the New Testament believers. And the Old Testament covenant, there were times that God didn't look like love. And there was time that he didn't look as though he loved his people. But we're going to reveal the reason why. Because God was working something out, and he was working something together, and it's always good when he finished with it. So a relationship with God is always positive. Once one receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, asks him to come into their heart, they automatically get a positive relationship with God. It's impossible to be in a relationship accepting Jesus and Jesus placing us into a relationship with God. It's impossible to be in that relationship, and the relationship is negative. Now, as we relate to God, and we start on this journey with him, we may go through some negative circumstances and negative situations. But as long as we keep our heart in the heart of God, and keep our faith in Jesus Christ, God is always working. And it may look negative for a season, but when he finished with it, it should come out good. In other words, even the circumstances and situation will be turned around to the positive. So in order to stay in this positive relationship, we got to know God's nature, and we have to know his character. And there's always two questions always floating around concerning this for God, our awesome God. One of them is he angry because of our sins? And the other question, which I love so dearly, is he a merciful God who wants to give us his life and blessings? I love that one. because that is what has been released in this New Testament covenant. We receive the very life of God. And when we begin to release our spirits and begin to open up our heart, we release that life. Amen. The life of God is being released into the studio. Amen. And whoever have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ can sense the release of that supernatural spiritual life. And those that do not have a relationship, you better believe that we will give you an opportunity before the program is over to receive that life of our Heavenly Father. And I have to release this life that God gives us, that we receive by believing in Jesus Christ. This life is independent of our performance. Amen. We cannot perform and earn this abundant life, this life everlasting. Only one performed in the presence of God and earned this life. Only one was capable. And he earned this life, but he didn't earn this life for himself. He earned this life for us, because we was truly unable to earn it, truly unable to perform well enough to be deserving of this life. And our loving Savior, our loving Master, earned this life for us. And you know, the part that I really like is he took my old life upon himself, and he gave us his life. And they call that, the theologians call it, the great exchange. What an exchange. Our sinful life for Lord Jesus Christ's righteous life. And we didn't have to perform to get it. All we had to do was believe upon him. So we're looking at the covenants, the old covenant, the new covenant, the Old Testament, the New Testament. And they give us two different views of God. And it's not that God changed, for the word of God tells us that God changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's not that he's doing anything different. And I know the word of God says that God say, I do a new thing. But that new thing, what he's talking about is I will relate to my people in a different way. I will relate to those in the new covenant in a different way than I relate to the one in the old covenant. And what's the difference maker? I'm glad you asked. The difference maker is the blood of Jesus Christ. is the covenant maker of the new covenant. And with that, the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't have to relate to God, separated away from him, like they had to do in the old covenant. Because the sin of Adam hasn't been dealt with yet. So they were separated. The old covenant was separated from God. The blood of Jesus was not shed yet. But in the new covenant, the blood of Jesus Christ, the loving blood of Jesus Christ, dealt with the sin of Adam. Paid the sin debt in full. And now we are able to be connected back to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So the terminology we would use concerning the relationship with God in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, God covenant with the people, the terminology we would use is God held man's sins against him in the Old Covenant. And through the teaching, you'll find out this new covenant is so awesome that God isn't holding our sins against us in the new covenant because it's the blood covenant, not the blood of a goat or pigeon or calf or lamb. But the blood of God himself, the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, this is a love story. This is a love story. And you know, it's deeper than our humanistic love. We shouldn't even bring that to the table. It's the soul love. Amen. God so loved the world. Praise God. And notice the world kingdom. God so loved the world kingdom. His enemies that he gave his only begotten son. And whosoever, I thank God that he just didn't put real names down there. Amen. He said, whosoever. Because I'm a whosoever. Amen. Then I believe. And I shall not perish. I shall have everlasting life. And you believe, you shall not perish. You shall have everlasting life. And before the program is over, whosoever want to can believe. So they will not perish. And they will have everlasting life. Thank you, Jesus. Whoa, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, when God was dealing with the old covenant, Because they didn't have a Savior. The blood of Jesus was not shed. Adam's sin was not taken care of and dealt with. They were separated away from God. God was dealing with them like we raised our little small children, the little bit ones, the one-year-old and the terrible twos. You know, they're very young. And it's impossible to reason with them. They're not at the age to reason. They can't rationalize. So it's kind of hard to tell them why you should act properly. It's been a proven fact that we do not have to teach our children bad behavior. They learn that automatically. But when they're real young and they can't reason, they can't rationalize, it's kind of hard to explain to them why they shouldn't be selfish, why they should act properly, why they shouldn't take toys away from their brothers and sisters. So basically, what we only thing we could do is just tell them the rule. This is what you do, this is what you cannot do. And if they break it, you know, out of love, we'll give them another chance. If you do that again, you're going to get disciplined. If you do that again, you're going to get punished. If you do that again, you're going to get a spanked. And we're not disciplined and punishing and spanked because we don't love them. Love of God. We love them with all of our hearts and all of our minds. We love them dearly. And that is why we discipline in them, because we do love them. That is why we bring the punishment, because we do love them. That is why we get a little spank, because we do love them. Even the word of God says, God loves those he chastises. Amen. That's a little spank. And why did God chastise, spank? Because he loves. He loves us. So that's the way God had to deal with the Old Testament. He had to enforce the rules, sin. And then, if they broke them, he had to discipline them. With the little children, the one in the terrible twos, the rules have to be enforced. Even though they don't even know who God is. They don't even know who the devil is. And they don't know when they're being selfish, they're giving room to the devil. They don't know that. They may not understand the concept. They may not understand that. But I tell you what, they understand this. Little Johnny, if you do that again, you're going to get punished. You're going to get disciplined. You're going to get spanked. And it's all because I love you dearly. And that's what God did in the Old Testament. As we said, the people, they weren't born again. They couldn't get born again. They didn't have none of the spiritual perceptions that we had. It wasn't under this new, awesome, loving, beautiful covenant. So God had to give laws. And he enforced the laws with punishment. Now, and we talked about this last week, sometimes it was even unto death. Because we read about where the man was picking up sticks on the Sabbath. And that's against the law. And he was stoned to death. But the key is, God ordered the stoning. And God had to judge sin. And to show the New Testament believers that I'm holy. I'm a holy God. And no unholiness can come into my presence. Amen. He had to draw the line in the sand. He had to detour them from sin to let them know that sin was ever so sinful. And if you play with sin, Satan is going to destroy you. So God had to put some restraints in place. And then he had to enforce them. You know, that's one of the worst things that can do is to put a law in place and put some restraint in place and don't enforce it. That gives flesh the wrong idea that sin isn't bad after all. And I can get away with a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I worked in the school system for 17 years. And when there was a classroom expectation, we didn't call them rules because that was kind of harsh, you know, and the children didn't like that word. So we said expectation. This is what is expected of you. You know? And if somebody broke an expectation and the others see that individual get away with it, then the whole class are going to try to do it. So that had to be dealt with. And it had to be dealt with immediately. And whatever the consequence was concerning breaking that expectation, the consequence had to be released to that individual. And the entire class had to see that this is real. We must follow the expectations of their consequences. And so the Old Testament discipline left a small impression that God didn't really love the people because of their sin. But the word of God clearly do not say that. If it's not in the word, we can't have faith for it. Amen? If it's not in the word, it's not true. The word of God is the only truth in the heaven, in the earth, and under the earth. Let's read Romans chapter number 5, verse 13.
Romans 5:13, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law.
Amen. Now, until the law, that's a short way of saying, until Moses went up to the mountain with God, and God wrote the commandments with his own finger, gave the commandments to Moses. Moses brought the commandment down from the mountain, and he presented them to the people. Now, until that happened, sin was in the world. But God wasn't holding their sins against them because there was no law. There was no law, and it wasn't, the word they're using is imputed. Now let's talk about the word impute. Impute is a bookkeeping term. Impute is an accounting term. Impute. We can go to the store. We can purchase items. And instead of paying, we tell them, put it on my tab. Amen. Put it on my account. Impute it on my tab. Impute it on my account. In accounting, somebody could put $1,000 in your account. You didn't put the money in your account. It wasn't your money. But since they put it in your account, it doesn't matter who put it in there, the money automatically become yours. They imputed it into your account, and it becomes your money. So if sin was imputed to our account, that means we're guilty of sin. It belongs to us. It's in our account. So until the law, before Moses went to the mountain and came down, with the law didn't show up until it came down from that mountain. But before the law showed up, sin was not being imputed into people's account. God wasn't imputing sin. Even though sin was there, but there was no law to tell them not to do it. So since there was no law, God couldn't impute it into their account. He couldn't charge them with it. You know, it's like in Europe. The European highway is called the Autobahn highway system, just like America. But one thing about the European highway is the Autobahn. There are no speed limits. You can go as fast as you want to go. There's no law to tell you you can't. So if you pass the police doing over 200, he can't impute that against you. I mean, because there's no law. And where there's no law, sin is not imputed. Amen. And under this awesome loving covenant that we have with our God, we're no longer under the law. Glory to God. We can easily say that in this covenant, there is no law. Amen. We're not under the law. Amen. God is, oh, what a wonderful covenant this is. It's love all the way. So love. Amen. Glory to God. God is not imputing our sins against us. Today. And if we're saved, he'll never again impute our sins against us. Now, this is the key. This is love. because God imputed all the sins of the world, sins of yesterday, sins of today, sins of tomorrow, sins of forever, he imputed all the sins upon his son, Jesus Christ. Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. So he put all the sins of the world into Jesus' account. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. All of them into Jesus' account. He charged them to his own son. Amen. But Jesus just didn't leave a balance in that account. Amen. Glory to God. He paid that account in full. Yes, he did. Amen. He paid the account in full by his precious shed blood. Amen. So today, in God's eyesight, the balance in the sin account is zero. Amen. The balance in the sin account is zero. Amen. And God took that zero balance and filled it full of love that surpasses our understanding. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. In this hour, glory to God. There's probably someone that haven't had the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And you know what that means? That your sin account has a balance. Amen. That means sin. Your sin is being charged to your account. Glory to God. Amen. And if you don't receive a Lord and Savior, you're going to have to pay the wages of that account. And the Bible tells us that the wages for sin is death. Amen? So now it's the opportunity to open up your heart and receive the very nature of God. Receive the very essence of who he is. The agape. The love. Because God has a gift for you. He would wash away all of your sins in the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ, just like he did Minister Smith and myself. But he'll give you something instead. He'll give you a gift. And it's a gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And as we go through the teaching today, that's what I'm releasing out of my belly, out of my heart. It's the life of Christ. I'm releasing the words of God's kingdom because God's word has become a living word on the inside of me. The word of God is life. Amen. It's a spiritual life, a supernatural life, the kingdom of God life. Nothing can compare to this life. And Jesus said, that's the only reason I came. that you may have life. It's a high quality life because he added something else to it. He said that life and that life more abundantly. Oh, glory to God. Amen. You become in Christ a union with God, filled with supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And you can receive that life. Now is the time. Do it now. Make the decision now. Don't hold it off another day. Nothing can compare to this life. This life is beyond our human understanding. And God will release it on the inside of us. And all we have to do is ask. And I'm going to let Minister Smith, we're going to stop, drop, and pray. Amen. We're going to stop, drop, and pray. And Minister Smith is going to take us to the cross. Minister Smith.
So if you would, brothers and sisters, would touch and agree with Brother Harold and I as we lift up the name of Jesus, that someone will come to know him in the pardoning of their sin. And for those of you who are praying and partnering with us in prayer, and you have been in your heart to the degree to where the Holy Spirit has been nudging you to lift someone else up in prayer, that they may receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, please do so today. Continue to lift them up. But for those who may not know him, let's take this seriously. Humble your heart the best as you know how. Come to the Lord in prayer with a whole heart. And just keep in mind, God knows your heart and he loves you. But it's up to you to receive him as your Savior. So let's pray. Lord God, I believe. I believe that you are my Savior. I believe that the Word, the Bible, is true. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. Lord God, I exalt you and I need you today. Lord, save me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Please take residence in my heart. Clean me up from the inside out, that I will know without a shadow of a doubt that I possess you. Here I am, Lord. I've done some things that I know I shouldn't have done. I've even said and had some thoughts I know I should not have said or thought. But Lord, here I am, and I need you. I trust you, and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Amen.
You have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and we are excited, and we just thank you for allowing Jesus to reside in you. Now we encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church that you will be discipled and baptized by submersion, that you will come up a new creature, a new born again believer. You've accepted him. Now, when you've been baptized, it's time for you to let the world know that you are a child of God. Hallelujah. And blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, seek out a Bible, seek out a small group, Bible study group that you would be discipled, or a Sunday school class within that church that you would be discipled so that you can grow, and then you could go in grace that God would use you according to his perfect will. So hallelujah, and continue to listen to Mission from the Heart Radio, and another resource for you to grow and go. Brother Harold?
Amen. And we want to welcome all the new believers, new saints, into the body of Christ. The greatest decision you ever made in your life. And you just believe things are going to get better. And you may say, Brother Copeland, my life isn't that bad. Well, I tell you what, you'll get ready to see a life that's going to blow your mind. And you won't be able to keep it to yourself. You're going to have to go and tell somebody else. And we're going to populate the kingdom of God. And we're going to depopulate the kingdom of hell. For God do not want no one to perish, but for everyone to come to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And again, welcome. I want you to know that we love you. But I want you to know that God loves you. And he loves you just as you are.
Amen.
And his love is so wonderful and powerful that you won't be the same. Amen. It's his love that will change you. Amen. Okay, as we move forward, we establish that until the Ten Commandments came, Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments. Sin was not being held against people. And for all the new saints, your sins is not being held against you. Your slate is clean. You now have a zero balance, like Minister Smith and I and all the rest. Zero balance. God is not holding sin against you. They've been placed in Jesus' account. And Jesus has washed them white as snow with the precious shed blood. You know, this covenant that we have, this new covenant, blood covenant with God, is so awesome. You know, King David was a prophet in the Old Testament. And David saw this blood covenant with Jesus Christ. And he almost said with envy, he said, those some blessed people. He said he saw by the Spirit. And he said, those New Testament believers are some blessed people. And the way he said it, it was, blessed those New Testament believers who God is not going to impute their sins against them. He saw this awesome covenant. And we know that David had a great walk with God. To God gave him one of the greatest honors that we could ever hear of. A man after my own heart. But even with that honor given to him by God, he still was jealous of this blood covenant that we get to walk in with our Heavenly Father through our Lord and Savior by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit in this hour. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So that's an amazing statement. That's an amazing covenant. God is not holding our sins against us. The sin debt has been paid in full. The heart of God is satisfied concerning sin. Now, we want to look at Genesis 3. Genesis 3, verses 21 through 24.
Genesis 3, starting at verse 21. Also, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has come like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Verse 23. Therefore, the Lord God sent of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword, which turned every way, to guard the way to the tree of life.
Amen. Now, religion says that when Adam and Eve sinned against God, because God is a holy God, and mankind had now become sinful, that God did not have anything to do with them anymore. And religion say that God drove man out of the garden to remove man from his presence, because a holy God couldn't have anything to do with unholy man. And some religions say that until we clean up our act through right actions, God once again cannot have any relationship with us. And this is just so contrary to the message of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm here to tell you, I could not clean up my act. I'm here to tell you, I wanted to. I tried. Amen. I didn't like what I was doing. And I tried to clean up myself. But I couldn't do it on my own. It's like what Paul says in Romans 7. The thing that I should do, I don't do. And the thing that I shouldn't do, I find myself doing. Oh, what a wretched man that I am. Who can rescue me? He needed rescued. I did too. Who could rescue me from the body of this death? I like the way he put that. That's how horrific it was. He called it the body of this death, a dead man walking. Amen. And I understand. I truly needed a Savior. I truly needed the love of God. I couldn't do it on my own. But God had the plan already. Amen. Worked out. He had the way already made. And all he had to do was just open my eyes to the truth. Amen. that I wouldn't listen to the lies that the devil was putting in my mind. But I listened to the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. And you know I like that word, know, K-N-O-W. That's not intellectual. Amen. And I have to say that because it's not. It's not logic or reasoning, emotional. It's a heart, a knowing of the heart. The word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. So we was reading Genesis 3:21, and we just want to come against that, that God didn't want anything to do with Adam and Eve. All of God's actions after the sin was revealed was an act of his unconditional love. Verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothes them. That's the first blood covenant. You know, once God brought the law, Moses brought the law and gave it to the people, God required blood sacrifices for the sins of the people. Now, one thing about these blood sacrifices, they didn't wash the sin away, they just covered it. Amen. Because God was in the process of heading toward the Lamb of God that takes away all the sins of the world. So, whatever mistake Adam and Eve did, disobedience, sin, God killed the animal. And he used the blood of that animal to cover their sins. Cause why? That's when the process of the Savior began. He immediately started bringing the Savior. All of this is on the way to the Savior. Putting everything into fruition for Jesus Christ to come on the scene. So that's love. Verse 21 is obviously love, unconditional love. Because they just had sin. Let's not forget that. They just had disobeyed God. Okay, 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, okay, to know good and evil. He know good and evil now, okay? And now, lest he put forth his hands and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Okay. And so what that is saying is they was in a sinful state. Adam and Eve was in a sinful state. And there was a tree of life in the garden. And if Adam and Eve would have ate from the tree of life in a sinful state, there would be no hope for them at all. They would have had to stay in that sinful state their whole life. And we better remember something, too. We was in Adam's loins, and we had become sinful, too. And if Adam would have stayed, ate from that tree and had to stay in that sinful state, there would be no hope for us. So God could not let them eat from the tree. That's love. That's the unconditional love of God. Amen. And look what he did. Therefore, okay, because I can't let them stay in a sinful state for the rest of their life, Brother Harold and Sister Kanita, they're all in Adam's loins, and all of them will have to stay in a sinful state for the rest of their lives. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden. Come on. Get away from the tree of life. I can't let you eat off the tree of life. Because you'll be lost forever. You can never have a relationship with me again. That's love. At least he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever in that sinful state. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. That's love. I can't let you stay around the garden. I got to move you out. You already been tempted once and done the wrong thing. If you look at this tree and just keep looking at this tree, you're going to get tempted again. Right? And you're going to be tempted to eat of that tree of life in your sinful state. I love you too much, and I'm going to help you out. I'm just going to remove you from the garden. And look at that. He didn't even finish. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, some form of angels, amen, to keep Adam away. Amen. And look what they had in their hands. And a flaming sword was turned everywhere to keep the way of tree alive. That's love. Put cherubims and a flaming sword to keep Adam away from that tree so he would not eat of that tree and have to remain in a sinful state along with all the humankind in his loins, and he would have sold the entire humankind to the devil, and God could let him do it. Why? Because he loved us too much. He's so loved. So loved us. Praise God. Thank you, God. Amen. And we understand that God was steady relating to them. He was talking to them. Amen. And he was talking them on a road to restoration. On a road to restoration. And let's look at this will be the last scripture. Let's look at Genesis 4:11-16.
Genesis
4:11. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is after Cain killed his brother, and this is the punishment that's coming forth. Genesis 4.
So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord sent a mark, on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him.
Amen. We have witnessed through scripture the first murder. You know, murder is never good. And it's even worse when it's in a family. Brother murdered brother because of jealousy. And we can't see anything but the unconditional love of God. Because back there, it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And if the people could have got by God, they would have killed him. No question about it. And, you know, as I was studying that, I actually said, God, if you this angry, mad God that religion say you are, you would have killed him. But what did God do? After the first murder, all of his actions portrayed restoration. You took your own brother's life. Now I'm going to start the process of restoration. Even to the point of protecting you from the people. Because God knew that eye for eye, tooth for tooth group, they would have destroyed him. And then God protected Cain. Said, if anybody touch you or put their hands on you, I'm going to get them. I mean, just right after murder. But this loving God started the process of restoration. And it's hard for me to really put my mind on that. But Paul called it the love of God that surpasses knowledge. Amen. So that's the only explanation I can give is that God is love. And his love is past my understanding. His love is past my knowledge. That is the very essence of who he is. That's his character. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he has poured that love in us. Amen. And we walk in that love, and we have a relationship with the very nature of God, which is love. Thank you very much.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This, I tell you, Brother Harold, this particular subject matter concerning relationship and love, I mean, they go hand in hand. Especially when we're talking about God the Father. And this is something I just believe the world needs to hear over and over and over again. Because the love that the world portrays, the type of love that God demonstrates, as we've seen in scriptures that you've laid out, and that he said in John 3:16, and it is unconditional, and it's a type of love that you clearly said that just goes beyond our thinking. And I thank God for him being God and blessing us with the kind of love that we can't really understand. So praise the Lord. Well, brothers and sisters, this brings us to the end of this broadcast and our series, The Benefits of Being in Christ. And I just thank God for Brother Harold and for the listeners of this broadcast tuning in every week to hear a word from God that will help you continue to journey through life and move you in your soul and your spirit to share the word of God with someone that they would want to know Jesus more and more and deeper and deeper. Thank you for being a listener to this wonderful broadcast, Mission from the Heart. And always remember that the grass wither and the flowers, they fade from season to season. But the word of God that has went forth today, that we carry on our hearts, in our hearts, and that we share with others, it will remain forever and ever. Continue to grow and go in grace, and we plan to be together again on next week. God bless you.